Let's do this. Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episode 2, the second part of the premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race season 12. Now, first, we have a man whose opinions are always valued, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Who's ready for some pie?
No one, apparently.
Yikes. We will definitely get into all of that at the start of the show. We want to address it right away. But first, let me bring in a man who is Amon, just Amon. How are you?
I am well. I'm glad to be back for episode 2. It's starting to kick off. And yeah, you know, some unfortunate things have come up, but we'll get into it.
Exactly. So let's not bury the lead. Let's get right into it. Cherry Pie has been disqualified from RuPaul's Drag Race. At the beginning of the episode, there was a card that was displayed. It's also been added to the first episode, I believe. And I will just read exactly what it says. This is the statement from VH1 and World of Wonder. In light of recent developments and Cherry Pie's statement, Cherry Pie has been disqualified from RuPaul's Drag Race. Out of respect for the hard work of the other queens, VH1 will air the season as planned. Cherry Pie will not appear in the grand finale scheduled to be filmed later this spring. So this was a story that was had been on Facebook, I think, for a while, but was finally published by BuzzFeed News. Essentially, Cherry Pie had been catfishing over several years via email several young actors. She posed as a casting director who led them to submit embarrassing audition tapes of themselves doing and saying degrading things. So you can check out that article. It exists. VH1 responded really quickly. I think within the day they had posted that Cherry had been disqualified and was not invited to the grand finale. So that's a situation that we're having to deal with. I have been keeping a close eye on what VH1 has been doing. They deleted her from all promo pics. They photoshopped her out of the cast photo, and she's gone from all the drag con stuff. The Pit Stop, which is the official review with Bob the Drag Queen and Peppermint, was on this week, didn't address her, didn't talk about her at all. So that's a situation that we have. Brent, I know that you have some strong feelings about this. How do you feel?
Well, it's not a surprise that we are not totally in agreement on this, although I certainly respect Liana's decision of her own self to not talk about Cherry Pie and not include her in the podcast. Basically, Liana has proposed before we started the recording today to not or to follow the lead of VH1 and World of Wonder and just not talk about Cherry Pie. My contention, however, is that she's on the episode, and I find it hard to talk about a show that I know and love, especially if this contestant in particular. Look, let's be real. It's not like she's going to be out next week. Okay, I'm going to give you a spoiler. She ain't out next week, so she's going to be around a while, and I really think we're in a really sucky situation, and it sucks all around, but I don't know how to handle it other than to talk about what I see, and I know that she's going to be a part of all these team challenges and things that happen and some of the drama on the show. She's a queen who has an opinion and likes to talk, and they even used her as one of the narrators for this episode, although I will give them a bit of a pass on that because I'm sure this episode was already in the can when all this broke like a day before and they couldn't do anything. So maybe in the future, other episodes will be redone, re-edited, and we'll have a different product that we're looking at. And maybe then she won't become as much of a part of the story. But I think that I have to talk about Cherry. And I guess it probably starts with the fact that I'm going to give you a spoiler alert from the beginning. My main opinion would be that as far as Cherry goes, she's an absolute troll and pervert. I mean, let's be real about what happened here and the amount of planning that it apparently took. But listening to the people who have basically Me Too'd Cherry Pie out of RuPaul's Drag Race, it's like the end of the world happened to these men in the article. And I'm like listening to them and these fucking idiots. And they're like, yeah, like I sent like 30 videos to some person on the other end of the internet who I didn't know. I had never even met in real life. And I did sexually suggestive things. And I even like took off my clothes and jacked off. Like, what kind of a freaking idiot are you that you would do that for a job to not think, you know what? This is probably not on the up and up. So yeah, if I'm a little victim blaming here. That's kind of where I am on this, and I guess that shouldn't surprise people.
Aman, do you have any thoughts you want to share?
I'm sure he has a few.
I don't know how you follow up with that. I mean, I also want to say that everybody's opinions are their own on the panel. We all have varying opinions on this situation and how it should be handled. So the feelings of one do not represent all.
Okay, so before we go, because I mean, I'm sure the audience can hear your, to be honest, condescension dripping in that statement. So, like, just go ahead and tell me, Liana, tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong, that I should be more outraged about what happened here with Sherry Pie. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I mean, I think victim blaming is something.
Are they victims? Or are they just some idiots who, like, shot some videos of themselves and sent it off into the nether regions of the internet without actually knowing where it happened?
I mean, there are power dynamics at play here that you don't understand, Brent. Like, this is a complicated situation. And I think to try to claim sides or something like that is just not, I mean, I don't think that that's appropriate. I think that we have to handle the situation with what we have in front of us. And I think it's really challenging. But sorry, Aman, I cut you off.
No, I cut you off. I'm sorry, honey.
I think both things can be true. I think that the men that were catfished were ill-advised. They obviously, I mean, they were young, and they didn't handle that situation with much intelligence. They didn't seem to really think those things through, because just for a little bit more detail here, Sherry Pie, you know, impersonated a casting agent, casting producer from HBO, saying that they were scouting out actors to be a part of a show called Bulk, B-L-U-K. And, you know, HBO is, you know, known for having shows that are, you know, a bit more racy, because they don't have to follow the guidelines of network television. So there is nudity. There is a lot of, there are just plain, you know, sex scenes just out in the open on these types of shows. So I can understand an actor being like, oh, well, this must be appropriate because it's HBO. But at the same time, it's like, would a casting producer really ask you to send videos of yourself jacking off, and not only just once, but multiple times? So I think that both things can be true. I think that you can be very, very young and be very, you don't handle the situation very well. But I also think that, yeah, I mean, you're also very, very young, and you're vulnerable to people that are that know. Like, I mean, Sherry Pie, she worked with these people. She worked with these men. She went to school with, she took classes with these men. Like, she did her research before she went ahead and impersonated this person to take advantage of these people. Like, it was premeditated. It was all planned out. Like, and she knew exactly who to target.
And to be clear, Sherry Pie has put out a statement, Liana, with, this is what really, I think, broke everything with RuPaul's Drag Race and World of Wonder, because they saw that this was basically confirmed, because Sherry at least apologized for one instance in particular.
Right. And I think, I mean, so it's, look, the other part of the situation is that treating a bad situation with more hate is also not a great thing to do, right? Telling people it's okay to perpetuate, like, hatred-fueled witch hunts, which is something that Evie tweeted about, I mean, that's also an abuse of power that needs to be checked, right? So, you know, I think that there needs to be learning on all sides. And I actually do want to point out, because we had there was a situation in Survivor, if you weren't familiar, from last season, and Rob did a really great podcast. It's called Beyond Survivor: Experts Weigh In on How to Educate About and Prevent Harassment in the Real World. So I will tweet out a link to that. It also provides a number of resources to support and further education when it comes to these types of situations. RAIN.org is one. The Canadian Association of Sexual Assault Centers is another. And so, I mean, really, look, the point is to educate. And what can we do to move forward as a community and as a group to learn about the situation? How do we talk to each other? How do we how do we listen to each other? And so for me, it personally makes me really uncomfortable to talk about Sherry. And it was really uncomfortable to watch some of these scenes. A lot of these comments, especially the ones about theater, were just, it was hard for me to deal with. And so the reason why I'm choosing to not talk about Sherry is because it personally makes me uncomfortable.
I was gonna make a joke. The joke that Sherry had in the episode where she was like, "So, are you an actress?"
Exactly. See, and it's hard. It's hard. And you know, we all have to try to listen and respect each other and respect our own
opinions. I would like to say, really quickly, just to save myself a little bit, that I am not alone on this. There are many people on the internet who are part of the RuPaul's Drag Race community who are like, "What the fuck? This is not a big deal." Yara Sophia at Twitter. Our Sophia, girl, it's drag. Wait and watch how Sherry Pie will turn this around and make money out of this. Merch. Life is not that serious. At Alexis Mateo, I did enjoy RuPaul's Drag Race last night, but sometimes our own community don't back up our own culture, just like our own gay bars. Oh well, I guess now all we have to do is crucify the Drag Race girl for wanting some dick into, I think she means, we cancel Drag Race and then we get sad things here on Facebook. And then she responded, some fan responded to her that said, so let me understand, she catfished men to get their nudes from them. Don't people do that all the time on Grindr, Growler, and Scruff? Not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just curious. And Alexis responded, for all of those who think that you guys are saints, sir, sit back and remember your life. No one is perfect. Past contestants have done some crazy shit too. I'm not saying it's okay. All I'm saying is that this would cancel the show and I would miss it. By the way, I would like to say, just to ensure a little bit of levity, Lady Bunny said, at Lady Bunny 77, just heard the news that a drag queen has been booted from RuPaul's Drag Race for pretending to be a female casting agent and forcing people to appear in a string of tasteless, demoralizing videos. But wait, how can they fire the show's host? And also Bianca Del Rio, at Bianca Del Rio, anyone else feel odd sending nudes right now? Asking for a friend.
I mean, I think there's a difference, though, between the situation that, you know, Amon very, clearly described, right? Like, this was premeditated and was targeted.
Right. Like, I mean, yeah, like, I have a bit of, and not to sound like a stick in the bun, but I just think that we have to be honest about what happened. Like, I see a lot of people, you know, making the Grindr and the Scruff comparisons. And it's like, if you log on to Grindr, you know what you're fucking getting. And you know what you're not getting, okay? Like, that's in it. Like, you are entering an arena where you are looking. You are searching for nudes. You are well aware of the fact that there are a lot of gay men that are closeted that don't even have their profile picture on those profiles on that thing. So you don't know who those dicks are attached to. So you, like, it's like, that's like a bit of a disclaimer. But to impersonate a casting agent when you know these people in real life and you know, right. that's an entirely separate situation. And I just feel like it's not an indictment on the show, it's an indictment on Sherry Pie, because at the end of the day, VH1 is an entity, they are a business. What else are they supposed to do? And when Sherry Pie pretty much admitted to the situation, their hands were tied. It's like, look, girl, like I'm sure you're not the only person to have done something like this. I'm sure there are plenty of Drag Race contestants that have done some pretty fucked up shit. It just never showed up in their casting. And why would it? Because it's not something that you're ever going to search for when you're doing this
people
process.
People talked about the casting for RuPaul's Drag Race and how they need to do a better job. I'm like, give me a break. Like, how in the world would you have ever caught this?
They operate on secrecy the entire time. Like, they don't want anybody to know who's on the show. So, of course, they're not going to find things out like this. But, like, they had no other choice other than to rip her from the show, because it's either let her stay on let her be on the show, don't address it, and then seemingly be okay with her catfishing all of these men while the story gets larger and larger and larger, when Drag Race already has its own issues with shit. It's like, it's either stay silent and let people continue to throw tomatoes, or just be like, look, I mean, okay, like, you know what, she fucked up, it's not a good look. We don't want to have anything to do with that.
I will
we
say really quickly show, that the one thing that probably irritates me the most is that Sherry put out a statement, and you can call into question the veracity of the statement if you want, but she did talk about her own mental health and how she's getting treatment for that and dealing with that. And basically people just totally blew past it. Like, it's not even a reality. People are just poo-pooing it, saying that that's not real. And I think it is real. I think that the way that Sherry grew up is real.
Oh, definitely.
That is real to me. Definitely. So I don't understand how people, like, they can just wash her away and not even care about her anymore. I mean, she's still a person. Like, we have a man in the Oval Office who's done far worse things. I mean, you're really telling me that we're going to treat this girl on RuPaul's Drag Race this way? I just don't feel right not talking about Sherry on the show. But, you know, I know there's people who are screaming into their phones right now who do not agree with me. Go ahead, I'm on.
No, I mean, I get it. Like, it's a very dicey situation, because I mean, growing up gay it's hard, and it comes with its own
battles
and struggles.
You grew up gay, black in Philly, right? Yeah.
In Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So like, it's like, I mean, I can,
God bless
on
you.
One hand, I can sympathize with what Sherry, I can sympathize with what Sherry may have been going through, but also like, let's not forget that she wasn't that young. Like she was in her 20s. Like she was like 21, 22. Like, you know, right from wrong at that age. Like even,
oh my
even,
God.
At, like,
I know.
And it's not like, I mean, you're growing up as a gay person in this day and age, and it's not perfect, but it's damn near not like what it used to be like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you have to, I mean, while I think what people are struggling with right now is learning how to talk about the situation because of the fact that VH1, because like I said, VH1 is an entity. They are a business. They had no choice other than to distance themselves from the situation. That is what they have to do as a brand, to protect your brand, to protect your money. That is what you do. What we do, how we decide to handle the situation, is completely separate from that. You don't have to go to VH1 and be like, well, they said that they're not going to talk about the bitch, so fuck her. Like, she's done. She's dead to me. You don't have to do that. You're allowed to have a conversation. You're allowed to have mixed feelings. You're allowed to have nuance enter the conversation and talk about it with your friends and your family. That is what it is there for. So I sympathize with, you know, not wanting to just completely, you know, erase her from the conversation, because I mean it's there.
You know, it really
there,
sucks too, because the other thing is that, like, if she just got the boot like normal, then I don't think VH1 puts out a statement here. I think that they just allow things to run their natural course, and then when she eventually face plants like Alexis Michelle, who the audience didn't like by the end of her run, and we get rid of her, then it's like, girl, bye, yay, she's out. But given that they put this statement out how she's not going to appear at the grand finale and all that, I mean, it says to me, I think she probably goes pretty far here. Is that how you feel, Amon? And I don't know any spoilers, but that's how I feel based on this statement.
I think that's probably the case. I think the fact that she probably makes it to the finale, and because you can't disqualify someone that's already been eliminated. So I think what they're saying right now is, we don't want to tell you exactly what happened because we don't want to spoil the season, but she's sort of like left us no choice. So we have to, because of the fact that she is at the finale, and therefore she could potentially win, we just want to go ahead and say right now that that's not going to happen. She's out, which means that they probably have to refilm the finale. They probably have to bring whoever the queens that were that came in fifth and sixth, they probably are now in the top four, and everything gets shifted up, and it's just a messy situation all around. So it's very unfortunate, and like, I think that VH1 is just they're doing what they have to do, and how we follow suit is up to us. I don't condone anything that Sherry did. I sympathize with the mental health issues. I get it. I get it. But, you know, right from wrong is right from wrong. And, you know, these are the consequences. And like, it just sucks to me because that spot could have gone to somebody else. Cause like, Sherry Pie didn't happen in a vacuum. Like, she knew what the fuck she was, what she did. She probably got cast on the show, started getting ready for the show, knew that there was a potential that all of this stuff could come out, because all of the, like, she did it to, like, I think it's 8 people have come forth so far that have said, yeah, she did the exact same thing to me. So she knew a shitstorm was coming, and she allowed herself to be on the show, had the time of her life, did fucking well, and then came back, did press, all of that, knowing that this could potentially pop off, and said nothing. So it's like, girl, like, you got the experience that you wanted, you got to be on RuPaul's Drag Race, and now this is the consequence that you have to face for the actions that you've taken. And that's just how the cookie crumbles. You know, it is what it is.
Liana, yes. I have to tell you that Monet Exchange said, can you imagine if there's a real Allison Mosey out there? She's probably gagging. Monet.
I mean, look, this is a complicated situation, and I'm happy that we were able to sort of talk through and give a perspective from where we're all coming from, because I think we all view the situation differently, and I think that that is reflective of also the audience, the people who are watching the show, the people who are talking about the show, that there is not necessarily one right or wrong way to view the situation.
Oh, I'm sure there's some people at home who are listening saying there is a right and wrong way to view the situation, and Prince is not it. Like, I can hear you now, but like, we all come from it from different experiences and a different worldview. And, you know, me growing up gay in Indiana in the Midwest and not being sure of how to express myself and doing it in really dumb ways, like, oh, Sherry, I mean, like, I know the consequences are sucking, and it really sucks that this happened, and I don't even like it, but it's I think VH1 did what they had to do in terms of a corporate entity and how big Drag Race is right now. So basically, I'm just I'm really bummed that this ruined my season, man. Because this season was so, it was starting so great.
It was very promising.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah.
Well, and I think that that's something that I'm, you know, I'm going to try to be like just Jan. I want to try to be as positive as possible. And I want to be able to enjoy the amazing queens that we have on this season. I mean, oh my God, I love them all, you know, and there's so many good looks. There's so many good performers. And you know, look, we're going to deal with this together. We're going to move forward together. And, you know, we're going to handle this the best way that we can. Okay. So we're going to try. And speaking of that, let's get into everything fun. Let's talk about Rock'em Sakura.
Yay!
Because she was a delight for me in this episode. And she's the one that kicks things off first in the workroom. Aman, what were your first impressions of Rock?
I love what she said when she came in. She said, "Am I Japanese? Who knows? Is it appropriation? I guess we'll find out." I think she's just giving me the queen that's gonna be just so irreverent the entire way through. And like, we'll talk about it towards the end. I feel like freaking Michelle is already trying to come for that, and that makes me a little bit pissed off. But I just loved her energy. I thought that, you know, I mean, y'all know I'm Team Japan. Like, what else can I say? Like, watashi wa, you know, kinre desu. Like, I love the bitch. I just said that she's my favorite in Japanese.
She is so talented. She is so fun. She's got such a great personality. She is so cute as a boy. Like, I couldn't believe it when she de-dragged and she looked like that cute little boy. I just wanted to pinch his cheeks and say, "Hey, how are you doing?" Like, oh my God, this was so, yeah, go ahead.
I don't get the comparisons between Kim Chi and Trixie Mattel. Like, her personality is just so far and away different from those two that, even if there is like a lot of white around her eyes, I'm not even noticing that shit. I'm just noticing what's coming out of her mouth. Like, she's just a delight. Like,
well,
she's great.
We're here to talk about the positives and her coming into the workroom. But yeah, like, I was so on board with Rock'em. And that's how I'm going to refer to her from now on. Because I always think about when I hear her name is Rock'em Sock'em. Like, that's what I think about. I agree with Michelle though about the eye makeup. Like, it's been one episode and we've seen four looks, and I'm a little over it already. Like, I'm hoping that she can change it up a little bit and give us a little bit of a different look for the makeup. But as far as her entrance look and my overall feelings about her coming out of this episode, it was A++++.
Oh my God, her running around the workroom was just so fun. Like, climbing up on the stairs and rolling out over on the tables and everything. It was just really lovely. She's so adorable and so positive, and we got to learn a lot about her, you know, during this episode. Oh my gosh, with like her mom being a meth addict and stuff, like, that was insane. Not insane, insane. And so it was happy that we got to know her. I hope she sticks around. But yeah, like you alluded to, Aman, the judges don't seem to be as high on her, but I loved her to death. All right, Dahlia Sin from the House of Aja, our look queen. Brent, what did you think about Dahlia?
I mean, like, all like, again, she's going to have to do something that differentiates herself from Aja, because that's all I'm seeing right now. This looks like Aja when she came onto her original season. Was it season 9? And like, was like, she basically needed to be in the oven a little bit longer. Like, she came onto the show a little green and maybe needed a few more years of experience to really understand what performing in drag is like, because this just seems like a rerun. And I don't mean to discount her personally, because it's not Aja, it's Dahlia Sin. But after one episode of getting to know her, seems very similar to me, and I'm looking for ways to differentiate her from Aja, but I'm having trouble at the moment, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Dahlia is, I feel like Aja's smarter than Dahlia, and that might sound a little, I don't mean to say that like Dahlia is dumb or anything. I just think that, you know, I think that the judges were spot on when they were saying like, look, like, I feel like she is just all about the aesthetic of everything. And that's very, it's limiting the ways that she can express herself, because I just like, I mean, even in her confessional, when she walked out, she's like, you know, like, my drag is, you know, better than all the other stuff that the girls are doing. And I'm like, why? Just because you're pretty? Like, come on, like, give me, like, what's, like, what else is there? And I feel like she's just Yeah, I mean, she just a little bit milk toast to me, and I think that she's very beautiful and everything. Yeah, but I just don't. I'm not like, what's the shtick besides looking fierce? What is it like? Where I need.
Liana, my favorite moment was when she was like, "I love Fosse," and the producer was like, "Who's Fosse?" She's like, "He, she." I don't know. Don't judge me.
Oh, that was almost as bad as when none of those queens, they chose Mariah and knew nothing about Mariah's shit for like.
No, that was worse. That was like, so bad.
You are all freaking gay men. How does this happen?
But okay. I would love for Dahlia to just sell any product. You could give her some. She's like, oh my gosh, I love it. It's so good. It's so amazing. Be like, honey, like these are dog treats. Be like, I love them so much. They're so good. Very much a look queen. Very, very, very much a look queen. Although I do love her looks, so I gotta give her that. But
yeah, she kills
yeah,
it.
I don't know how long exactly she will be on the show. All right, Aman, first impressions of Sherry that are on the show.
I loved the dress. I mean, I think that it's, you know, it's very on brand. I mean, she came in as a fucking pie, and she put the first prize winning thing on there. So very competent, very on brand, very campy.
She's not going to get the blue ribbon this time, though. So I don't know. I thought she was very fun in this episode. I enjoyed her behind the scenes. I enjoyed her as a narrator. I know there were some definite cringe moments, but overall, I thought she acquitted herself really well. Like, to be honest, it seemed like she was one of the adults in the room, at least as far as these six were concerned. So I really look forward to seeing how the dynamics change moving forward. But that's what I got to say about Sherry.
Well, and she's one of our queens from New York City. Also, one of our queens from New York City is Jan, as we learned, just Jan, which I absolutely loved when it was Jan Sport, but they bleeped out the sport part because...
Yo, they are really taking this seriously.
Copyright law, y'all. Her reference of Let's Play Some Basketball, Fergie said when she sang the national anthem. I had like just watched that video because of the Masked Singer, because Chaka Khan like messed up the national anthem, did a really bad. So I was like, oh my God, Jan is in my mind. Just Jan. I love, love, love Jan. She's very driven. She's very ambitious and she doesn't apologize for that. And she has amazing skin. So essentially she's my hero and I love Jan.
Yeah, those teeth. Man, I just keep looking at her teeth every time that she's in the confessional. I was talking about the show with a friend of mine last night, and he said something that's sort of like ruining my Jan Sport experience. He said, you know, I mean, I like Jan, but she's just a little bit too, like, she's too overly sanitized. She's too, like, cookie cutter, too perfect. And it's, like, a little bit boring to watch. Like, I'd rather watch somebody else, you know, that has a little bit more work to do. And I'm like, now that he said that to me, I'm like, yeah, I guess I kind of see it. Like, she's obviously been a fan of the show for a very long time. She's mentioned multiple times in the episode that she's, you know, taken all of the critiques from all of the queens that she's ever seen on the show, and she applies them to herself. I think that as far as, like, you know, her walking in, she looked like she was just ready to go. Like, she had her reference ready. She had her quote ready. She looked good. She had her backpack. Like, she just looks like she studied for the test, and now she's here to take the exam. Okay. And I think that it's adorable. But now that my friend said that to me, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I do want to see you struggle now. Like, I feel like it's only the first episode. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go too hard yet. But like, I'm ready to see a Jan struggle. Okay. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. I mean, I love Jan. I mean, and I find it difficult not to say Jan Sport, because this is one of the few queens that I was aware of. So I'm like, I had the same thing as Rockham, where she was like, Jan Sport? She's like, no, it's just Jan. So by the way, for people who are getting tired of the, it's just Jan. Like, that's from Will and Grace, the whole just Jack thing from Will and Grace. So that's what they're doing there. I think that there were some young people who didn't get that reference, and I was really annoyed with them. Sorry.
Oh my god.
Jan was fantastic this episode all around. I just loved her. I really find it. She's like a queen, like Miss Cracker. She doesn't have any weaknesses. Like, she is just fantastic all around. I can't wait to see what she's going to bring. I also do, like, worry a little bit, because I felt like during this episode, we can talk about it, but I feel like the judges are not, either they're holding back on purpose because she's, like, such an obvious favorite that they don't want to give that away, or they're not totally feeling her. I feel like the judges were a little hard on Jan in places where maybe they shouldn't have been, and I can't wait to talk about that because I didn't agree with them.
Yeah, the judging was very WTF at moments.
What the fuck?
This episode for me. So yeah, we'll get into that. But another queen that I'm living for is Jada Essence of Beauty Hall. Brent, what did you think about her? First impression?
I love this bitch. I love that she's like, I'm not even a drag queen. I'm more of a female impersonator, which like that's what people did back in the old days. Like when I was growing up. Oh my God. So she's just fantastic. The body, the hair, the shoulders. The lurks that she can turn, how she carries herself like a goddamn champion. I love the confidence. And you know that she was clocking every one of those queens when she entered the workroom because they were scared of her. They were scared of her when she came in. I know that's true, Amon.
Yeah, I mean, Cherry Pie said, like, oh, she's a woman when she walked out. So, like, she's prim, she's proper, she's polished, she's ready, honey. Like, she's been waiting for it. And, like, yeah, those shoulders, man, those shoulders glistening in the stage light. Yes, honey, I was here for it all. That turquoise on her body, yada, yada, the hair, everything.
The hair.
It just works.
Look at that hair.
It works.
Ah!
Ugh, the jewel, yeah, that jewel tone, that turquoise was just really, really gorgeous and so good on her. I mean, and she has such freaking confidence. If I had to pick a winner right now, the finale's not filmed. We don't know who's in the final four for multiple reasons, but I would pick her. My money would be on her. She makes 99% of the stuff that she has, which you can tell the stuff is tailored.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Fit her body. She will excel in the performance challenges. I think she'll excel in any design challenges. Like, if I had to put money on one of the queens, it would be Jada.
That's a lot of talents that like I've never like that's always been one that I've always been just so mesmerized by or people that can like, because I mean, she draws as well, so she sees it in her mind, she draws out the design sketch. And then she just sews it, like, you know, it's like magic. It's like, how do people do that? So, and then it just looks good. And then she, you know, it's just all, you know, it's her. It's all her brand. Like, she made it. She created it. And now
and
she's wearing
feisty
it.
Too. It's like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, she has a massive personality to back this up. It's not like she's like the quiet girl working behind the scenes. No, she is out in front. She is taking the arrows. You know, she's going to get into some drama. I love that about her. I love everything about Jada. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Love her.
Same. All right. On our last queen that we get to meet in this episode is Aiden Zane, our spooky queen of the season. Amon, what do you think about first impressions of Aiden?
This actually made me a little bit more hopeful for her. I mean, I was during the preseason, I was definitely getting first boot vibes, and she still very well could be the first one out. But I sort of didn't like the way that it was edited, and when they were all sort of like, you know, asking her, okay, so like, where do you perform? How often do you perform? Do you have training? Because if that was something that they were asking each other, that they didn't show anybody else, they just showed her, because obviously she's a little bit different from them. But it made me like root for her. I was like get off her back. Like, she made it on the show just like y'all. Like, she went through the casting process, she had to do the Snatch Game audition, she had to do all that shit. She's talented. Let the bitch live. She looks good. She's not doing the same old shit that y'all are doing. Like, it's a little something else. Like, let her be.
I kind of got that. I got that feeling as well. Like, I didn't love Aiden coming onto the show. Like, we previewed her preseason, and I wasn't in love with her. She's okay, but I was like, you know, definitely felt like early jury, you know. And when the queen started coming for her, though, I really identified with her. I'm like, you know, like, don't be so hard on her. Like, she's putting on some really interesting looks, and even though I don't think I think some of them were more successful than others, I think overall that they were really judgy. And we love seeing a queen like this just snap, like, slap these other queens across the face with a win. And they're like, how did she win? Like, she can't win. She's not better than me. But, you know, you never know with these challenges that Drag Race presents, who's going to excel and who doesn't.
Yeah, well, and I think the whole thing about the storyline with her not performing, and then really I thought where she shined the most was in the performance, because I was not crazy about a lot of the looks, but she emotes and she is so freaking expressive. That face, the way her mouth moves, is actually kind of mesmerizing. And I think that was her strongest showing in this episode for me. But I did feel bad for her, but I don't think I necessarily clicked with her in the same way that I think think the two of you did. So I think
to be clear, she will
do better than I thought originally, but I don't know how well she'll do.
Yeah, I'm more on your side of things. I didn't totally click with her, but I'm with Amon in terms of even though I didn't click with her, I felt like I was identifying with her a little bit more because the other queens were so bitchy to her. So like,
yeah,
leave her alone.
Really? I know. And like, okay, just because she doesn't perform, like, okay, you live in New York City. Her closest city is Atlanta, and it's an hour away.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
She's dealing with a whole nother thing. Yeah. Like, that's hard.
Right.
So. All right. Well, let's get into our mini challenge. So, again, we have the spring and fall looks for the mini challenge. So, do any of the spring looks stand out to you, Amon?
I was like, the one thing that I thought about when Dahlia Sin came out, I was like, oh my God, that's Trinity the Tuck Taylor's look from All Stars 4.
Oh.
Like, it was almost like the exact same thing, except that instead of like making the dress out of those zip ties, it was just actual fabric right on down to the same like fire engine red hair. It was stunning. It was very beautiful, but that's exactly what I thought of when she came out. I thought it was like, just like, spot on to Trinity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that the spring look begins and ends with Jada Essence Hall. Like, that was so fantastic. That really looked like a spring look to me. Like, the way her hair was done, her titties were like rock solid, her shoulders, well, she loves her shoulders, man. We're gonna be seeing them a lot. The makeup was absolutely right. It was fitted so well. The way she walked the runway was everything. I also really loved Jan's spring look. That Dolce & Gabbana inspired outfit was so tight to her body and so fitted, and that makeup was so right. She has so many different looks. I keep wanting to say lurks. She has so many different looks, the way she does her makeup and the way her face responds to the light, and I just love that about her. And this was fantastic, Liana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that actually there were a lot of looks that I liked. Aiden's Pikmin realness look was maybe not my favorite, but Rock's, when she said that she drew the garment herself, that was crazy impressive. Very, you know, she said, I think Comme des Garçons inspired. Mm-hmm. It was sort of kind of hard to see a little bit just because there was so much that was going on.
Swallows her up.
Yeah, she was trying. Yeah. She was like, swinging it around, trying to get it in the frame, but it just
Rockham definitely is prone to these sort of big lurks that swallow her up, like Ross says, because like in the runway challenge at the beginning and then in the main challenge runway, that's all I see is just like tons and tons of fabric, and I would like to see. She has a great silhouette. I would like to see it more. So maybe we'll see if we get more of that in later episodes.
Mm-hmm. And she had the little like puffs that Chad Michaels had when Chad was doing the election.
Yes. Bitch, that takes me back. Oh my God.
I thought that was really cute. But for Dahlia's, I mean, at least she kind of had that like through line of the fur, which then went over into her fall look, the whole like all body fur number, which to be honest, I first thought was very ugly.
The fall look
for Dahlia, I was like, I would never wear that. But then, and as I looked at it more, I was like, maybe this is art. I don't know what I'm looking at.
I mean,
at.
This was probably my favorite fall look. I'm sorry. Like, Dahlia's, this was the one time she succeeded this episode, was the fall look. I loved this fall look. It was interesting. It was art. It was like art in motion. And the way the hair was done, when you couldn't see much of it, but like she had these like, I love when she took off the drag because you could actually see what the hair was. Like, there actually wasn't any hair there. She just like glued some like streaks of hair to her face, apparently. I just, everything about this, Amon, was a hit. This looked like high fashion. It looked like money. She smelled money walking down the runway, and I know she don't got no money, so that's how it felt to me.
Yeah, I felt the fantasy. I was like actually like disturbed when she de-dragged, and then I found out that those hairs were glued. I was like, I don't know why I was so disturbed by that, because the bitch is bald, like we see her in the confessional. But I was still like, I felt so betrayed when she pulled that shit off and she just took it off. I was like, what the hell is this? But I really I did like her fall look. And like we did get to see Rockham's silhouette in her fall look. You didn't like that one, Brent?
In the fall look. Yeah, I can see it now. This was probably my least favorite of the fall looks. And it's not because that we didn't see her silhouette. I did feel like that the silhouette itself was not exceptionally fitted to her. It was like slightly lumpy to me. Also, the fact that her makeup isn't changing is sort of bugging me. Like, I don't think that this particular makeup goes with this particular drag. Maybe you guys disagree with me on that. But I would like to see something a little bit more...
snatched.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's listeners who are going to come for me on that, but I it's so funny because the people who do this, who do the snatch kind of makeup, we don't come for them and say, I want to see something arty, I want to see something comic-y. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't say that to them.
Yeah,
but I am saying that to Rockham. I guess that's because that's the default to me, and maybe I need to open up my mind more, but that's how I currently feel about her.
Well, I think she changes a lot of like around the kind of the outside. So you have that like white under the eye and then the highlight on the nose and then the shape close to the eye stays the same. But I was trying to pay attention. She kind of tries to change like the outside because especially in her look at the very end, the runway look, she's painted all around it. So it's kind of like all of the things that change happen sort of a couple inches away from the eye. Like the stuff that's around the eye actually stays the same.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite fall look had to go to Jan. The minute that she said Ariana Grande / Lady Gaga / Kim Petras, I was like, yep, I see it. I feel the fantasy. I just love the whole, you know, asymmetrical type deal. I love dresses like that, that are sort of like, you know, just sort of like avant-garde, but very sleek and posh. And I think that in the long pony, it was just very... I felt it, and I loved Aiden Zane's boots. I loved the yarn freaking when Michelle said there's a bunch of tea kettles that are naked right now. I like laughed my ass off. I loved it. It was very quirky, very just like if I were a drag queen, I would like call her and I'd be like, can I please like borrow those for like just for like one gig, just like one gig. I want them. I feel like
she went to her grandma's and then just got the curtains and made it into a poncho and found a hat and then took the tea cozies. Like that's the aesthetic that I am getting from Aiden Zane with this look.
Well, that's definitely how I felt as well. I will say that it's no surprise that the fall look to me also, if it wasn't won by Jada, I think that it was very close. Like, I love this look, and it just already makes me smile because just like Jada is showing us that she has versatility in the way she presents her hair, her makeup, everything about this look. Like, it's, you're not seeing her shoulders, you're not seeing her torso or any boobs. It's just fashion, and it is so fitted to her body, and so like this is perfection, and it looks like money. Yeah, I love the fact that she talks about that. She's like, Jada is bougie and she has money and you can smell it. And I'm like, yes, bitch, I can smell you. Like, there are other people who are walking down the runway who are trying to make their outfits look classier and more expensive than they are. But you, I can smell from here during my television. Like, it's like scratch and sniff. I can smell it from here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those breastplates are expensive. Yeah. Like, literally, like those, like a friend of mine, actually does drag from time to time, and he bought one and it was like over 200. I was like,
I love that we don't see it in this fall look. I love that everything's covered up because, you know, you can already hear RuPaul and company coming for her saying, you know, are we gonna see that every episode? Like, if she hadn't changed it up, I feel like they might have come for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the season's fashion is going to be a battle between Jada Essence Hall and Gigi's mom, because like the looks are just so good and so well tailored. And like you said, Brent, it just fits her so well. And there is something to be said for tailored clothes. It just makes you look so much better when you have clothes that fit you and fit your body. Yeah. So this was probably my favorite look as well. Although I did love Jan's, just Jan with the alligator. Very Gaga.
I will
definitely
say really quickly that I wasn't really impressed by Sherry's fall or spring look. I thought they were both pretty weak. I know that RuPaul said that, you know, basically they agreed with me on the spring look. They said that it was fine, it was okay, it was good. But it was blah, let's be real. It was blah. There was nothing special about it whatsoever. The fall look was a little bit more interesting, but even then I felt myself slightly bored by her. I definitely think that I would have expected more from her right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll be remiss if we do not, after getting dragged a few times this past week about not correctly identifying the guest judges on the runway.
Yeah, that was me. I take full blame. Okay.
This time we were great. Mayhem Miller graced us with her presence again, but this time she was not Andre Leon Talley. And then seated next to her, we had Sonique playing not Karl Lagerfeld. And then we also had Raven was there, Kim Chi was there, and ooh, there was one last person.
Oh, it was Zaldi as himself.
Yeah, Zaldi. Yes.
Yep, as himself.
Yeah, was Kim Chi playing Anna Sui or something?
Oh yeah, so.
not Anna Sui.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bummed that they don't get to talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I like that they're there and everything, but I want to
hear
like,
their thoughts.
Comments
yeah,
coming
exactly.
From them too.
Although Kim Chi's facial expressions were really, really great. Her one in the background with Aiden's look was particularly funny. I saw a screen cap of that somewhere. I'll see if I can find it. But giving us face, darling, face. All right. Before we talk about the Maxi Challenge, I want to take a second to talk about some affiliate links that we have. So if you are traveling, although I know with the coronavirus, maybe not so much, but if we ever get back to traveling, check out robhaswebsite.com/travel. Bitch, I'm just trying to be topical, okay? I read the news. Check out, like I said, robhaswebsite.com/travel. That link will be constantly updating with new links. And so if you use them, it doesn't cost you anything extra. We might have discounts from time to time, and it helps support Rob Has a Podcast. So let's also take a break to hear from some of our other sponsors. And we are back. Let's dig into the Maxi Challenge this week. So the girls were tasked with writing and recording an original Fosse-inspired jazz number. Brent, what did you think about the Fosse jazz number in general?
Not as successful as episode one. No. I really wish they would have switched things. I know they wanted to come out of the gate with Nicki Minaj, but wow, I was not impressed with this. I feel like this was half-assed. It was sort of half done. I don't even really respond. This isn't my favorite kind of musical theater or musical review. Like, this isn't my favorite era. Sorry, Mon.
Oh, you can go.
But even if you thought it was your favorite, I don't think that these queens were as successful as the queens from episode one. I think overall that the choreography wasn't as crisp. I think the lines weren't as good. It got better as it went, certainly, but overall, I didn't care for it as much.
Yeah, so there are often times when watching Drag Race that we see the rehearsal process and we see them like stumbling around, and then it ends up like being a smash by the time that it gets there. And I'm like, how? Like, I was like, who the fuck?
Right.
Like, what professional choreographer came in and zhuzhed this up? Like, how did this happen? But this was the first time where I was like, oh yeah, they definitely did this themselves. Like, it's obviously an effect of the fact that hardly any of them knew who Foxy was, which is just like, come on. Like, that is like the most iconic musical theater choreographer / director. Like, he won an Oscar, a Tony, and a Grammy all in one fucking year. Okay. Like, the guy is like insane.
That's because,
like,
they don't know who Fosse is. They think Fosse is from Chicago because that's all they remember from Chicago is Fosse, Fosse, Fosse. Like, that's all they remember. God. Okay. They have no concept of who Fosse is. So that's where the problem is from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's such a fail too, because I mean, as they're rehearsing, Jada's like really, you know, wanting them to take everything so simple and not make it too spicy, and like it doesn't have to be a Broadway production. But I was like, yeah, but that's like the beauty of Fosse, is that it is very simple. Like, it's very isolated movements, jazz hands, you know, you move as a team. Like, the Fosse amoeba is like a thing. Like, it's such easy shit to pull off, but they were just like a mess throughout the entire rehearsal process. It was like just like a train wreck.
The thing that I loved the most was when they talked about, oh, how they're going to enter and all the entrance stuff. And there was so much time spent on that. Then cut to the actual performance and they're sitting in chairs.
And they're fucking sitting down.
I get it.
What the hell?
It's Fosse, but still, like, we're going to spend so much time on that. And then they were like, nah, nah, nah. Like, let's just sit, guys. Like, we can't handle that. But I did think the whole time during it of that SNL skit with Christina Applegate where she's like, this is Fosse. This is not Fosse. And that was what I was thinking of the entire time. But it, I don't think that it delivered in the same way that the performance from week one did. I actually, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is okay. And then I rewatched the episode and I was like, oh, this is much better. But I was watching the episode at like 1.3x speed. So it's better if you speed it up.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is that the order of the queens here was really terrible. Like, they started with their two weakest queens right off the bat in Aiden and Dahlia. And you can say what you want about Aiden, and she was definitely emoting with what she had to work with. But I felt like her vocal track and what she had recorded had the least energy of all 13 queens from this episode and the last one. It was so quiet and so boring and had no audience interaction whatsoever. The other queens weren't interacting with her vocally. It was just her, and it was so, like, it was like I Am Legend, where she's the only queen on earth. Like, she was just doing her own thing up there, and that's the thing. She couldn't fill the space to me. Aiden, I'm talking about. Like, yeah. She wasn't big enough. Her personality wasn't amazing enough to fill the stage when it was her time to go. I just kept wondering, like, what else is there? Like, can we move on to the next queen? And then it was Dahlia. And I wasn't impressed with her either. And I didn't even care for her lyrics, although I'm not going to come for the contestants as much as the judges. Like, the judges apparently want to hear a biography and whatever lyrics the contestants had to work with. I was fine with what Dahlia was trying to rhyme with. I just didn't feel like it was performed very well. And you could definitely tell she was nervous. As I said, it got better from there, but already I had started to check out a little bit.
I liked Dahlia's deflating balloon noise at the very beginning of her performance. That was a very
I was wondering what
choice.
That was. I was like, are you like doing the pheromone moan? Like, is that what this is? Like, what's going on here? It was kind of strange. But I mean, I sort of like echo Brent. I feel like was it you, Liana? They said it was sort of like half-assed. Like, I feel like it was like, I feel like these queens found out that the other queens like did Nicki Minaj and it pissed them off and they were like, well, fuck this shit. Like,
except for Jan.
Yeah, except for Jan. Jan did. She killed it. Her and Jade and Essence Hall really did a good job throughout the performance. And I enjoyed what Sherry Pie was doing throughout the entire, like every time. At the end of somebody else's like little shtick, you would think that it'll be her next, but they're like, nah, bitch, move out the way. And then somebody else would come in and do their shtick. So it was really, really cool. I loved freaking Rock'em Sakura's bit. I loved everything. The high kick into the fart. It is my bread and butter. Okay. Like, it got me. I was the targeted demographic for that. I don't care if it's fart humor and it's lowbrow. It was funny and it was acrobatic and I won't hear anything against it.
I liked Rock as well. I think Brent, we've talked about this, but like this type of humor is like not, it's not like my thing.
No,
but I don't feel like, why were they so mean to her about the
yeah,
whole
they were,
thing?
Like, they were definitely coming for her about this. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, so we've had other queens do like other things in the history of Drag Race that they've talked about on stage, and all of a sudden, like one, and it wasn't like she belabored the point, it was just like one little joke, and she did it right on
cue.
It was
funny.
Like, it was, mm-hmm. It was so well done with the timing of it. She had like the little fart noise, and it was like, and then like she like squatted down and it was so funny. Oh my god, it was so funny. Like, I think the judges were just mad that Rock'em like basically came for the lip sync from a character standpoint. Like, it wasn't about Rock'em Sakura, it was about some character that she played, and that's not what the judges were looking for. So that's why I think she might have not been as successful as we thought she were, which she was. I thought Jada Essence Hall was absolutely spectacular. Jan, so amazing, the way she moved on the stage and her energy. But I will have to say, though, Sherry Pie did a fantastic job in this challenge. Like, if I hated, I really didn't like what she did in the runway, but on the main stage, she just lit up a room to the point where I was with Amon in terms of, like, it was such a funny bit. Like, every time you thought it was going to be Sherry, and then it wasn't. And then when it finally was her, it was so funny and so well done. And that, we can talk about the runway, but, like, overall, I thought this performance was a smash.
I think another thing about Rock, just to go back real quick, was she was also doing sort of a lot in the background. And I think that it was almost a little distracting at times. So maybe that's where some of the negative criticisms could also have come from. She was doing like some crazy kicks. I mean, not that it wasn't entertaining, but it didn't necessarily make it cohesive. Although, you know, like we talked about, not like this was the best performance in general for this whole group. But I think my two favorites were Jada and Jan. I think Jada's lyrics were the best, and as one of the judges said, she's just so fun to watch, and it's so fun to watch her move. And Jan, we get of course the Move Over Marsha reference, so if anybody's keeping tally, let's start counting. But I would have to say those two are definitely my favorites.
I agree.
Let's talk quickly about the judges, because we didn't talk about them. Our guest judges this episode were Thandi Newton and Robin. Brent, did you have any thoughts about our guest judges?
I mean, they were fine. Bitch, I didn't know who Robin is. I'm sorry. I'm a gay man who's 45 years old. I don't know who the fuck this bitch is. I've never seen her before.
Wow.
Did she record a song that I should know about? Like, I know who Thandi Newton is, okay?
I keep dancing on my own.
Yeah. Yeah.
That song. That's like her major one.
Okay, yeah. I didn't get it. No.
She's Swedish.
Wow. Okay. Tough fucking crowd, bitch.
Okay, well, this is an introduction to Robin for Brent.
Robin. You know when we were, can I be really honest? Okay, so you know last week when we were talking and we were like, okay, the guest judges next week are blank and blank. You said it was like, Amon was like, it's Robin and Thandi Newton. Like, I thought it was like Robin Thicke, okay? because the way Amon said it, like, I felt like he was about to say the last name, but then he like changed course in midstream of the sentence and then like decided not to. Like, we just assume we know who the Robin is in the thing, because I've never heard of this Robin before. It's apparently spelled R-O-B-Y-N, which I've never heard of her. Sorry, don't come for me. Don't judge me. So like, I thought it was Robin Thicke, and then you can imagine my disappointment when it was for this Robin on the stage.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, Robin Thicke is busy with the Masked Singer. Okay, he doesn't have time for RuPaul's Drag Race.
See, that's what I thought he came over for the Masked Singer, and I thought it was like a promo,
the crossover promotion. I actually thought Thandi Newton did a really good job.
She was
as
great.
A judge.
Yeah.
She was really great. Robin was okay.
Yeah, Robin was, I'll be real, Robin was pretty terrible. Thandi was fucking great. Thandi had so much empathy and so much warmth and really tried to pump the queens up, and I really loved her on the show.
Hmm. Yeah, you can tell when she's, when the guest judges are actually fans of the show, and it's always very heartwarming to see them come in and actually take it seriously. And you know, it's also like they always get extra points for me. I don't think it happened in this particular episode, but the guest judges always get extra points from me when, because you know, Carson and Rue and Michelle and Ross are always, you know, making self-referential jokes and puns, and sometimes the guest judges will know because they've seen the show, and it's always like, yeah, like you get it, like you're team Drag Race. I love it. So it's great to have enthusiastic judges. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Now let's talk about some tulle, which was the theme of our runway look. So first of all, tulle versus sparkles, Amon, which one would you rather do?
Probably sparkle. I mean, I just feel like tulle is just like, I mean, what else can you do with it? It flows, it bounces, it's a walking loofah. Like, what else can you do? I mean, points to Jan, because she really showed the fuck out for this runway. But yeah, definitely I would have to choose sparkle.
I would choose sparkle too. Like, who wouldn't choose sparkle over tulle? Like, but there's so many puns you can make with tulle. Like, they had, like, I can see her tulle from here. And then like when Dahlia came out, Rue was like, now Dahlia's tulle is red and engorged. I believe there's an ointment for that.
Yeah, I did feel, I kind of felt bad for the queens in this episode, because I was like, okay, so group one gets Nicki Minaj, they get a better song, and they get sparkles, and then this group gets Thandi Newton and Robin, which, fine, but then they get the Fosse number and tulle, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. All right, well, let's talk about Aiden's. So she was living her lime green princess fantasy. Brent, what did you think about Aiden's look?
Aiden's look overall, I mean, I thought that she wasn't as successful on the runway. Like, I'm trying to get behind this look. I think there's a thought and a point of view. So points for that, okay? But I felt like it was so monochromatic to the point where it just also swallowed her. Like, I didn't, even though it was very fitted around the waist, I felt like I couldn't see some of the structural accomplishments in this dress. And even though I felt like she was trying to give us a different look than what she gave us from the runway and even during the lip sync challenge itself, I wasn't as impressed by this. Aman, what did you think?
Once again, another lime green dress with a red wig. Like, what's going on? But I mean, I liked it. I appreciated the fact that it was a little bit more glam, a little bit more fashion. And she's, I mean, and she said, she was like, look, like, I already know people are going to say about me. They're going to call me the spooky queen. They're going to say that I'm only, you know, here to be Dracula. But I can be pretty, too. And let me show you real quick. But then again, I feel like next week she's going to go right back to being spooky. But she just had to let bitches know. She just had to let bitches shut up for a second. So I liked it. I thought, I mean, like I said, like, Tool is, there really isn't much that you can do with it. So I'm not, I can't really be too hard on any of the queens for this particular runway.
I think it was hard because it gave me a little bit of sort of the, like, I don't know, nighttime, like, overcoat sort of look. I don't know. I didn't exactly know what I was looking at.
Yeah.
And I get your point about how it kind of swallowed her up, even though Rockham's Sakura's was literally like, what, 1,000 yards of freaking Tool. But it wasn't bad. It just also, did it spark joy if I Marie Kondo this? No, I don't think it sparked joy, but I also didn't hate it. So I don't know where I land. Now, talk about something I did love. Dahlia Sin's look, the red 80s look with those kinky boots, Brent. This, to me, was one of my favorite looks.
Yeah, if she saved herself at all in this episode, this was why. Like, this runway was absolutely spectacular. Yeah, there were elements of it that were kind of just pretty, and it was, in some ways, sort of predictable that this is the way she's going to go. But still, she pulled it off so freaking well and looked so amazingly hot walking down the runway with that wig and that makeup and that body. Everything about this was so freaking fantastic, Dahlia. Like, I'm hoping we get more of this, but I'm afraid we're going to get more of, like, what we saw during the challenge.
Here is the Rihanna influence coming through again. Like, it's so apparent. And those boots, man, those boots, I want them. And I'm not even a big fashion person, but I want those boots just to say that I have them. Speaking of Rihanna, when is she going to be a guest judge? I feel like she should, for season 13, if there's anybody on production that listens to this podcast, get Rihanna for the premiere episode. We deserve it. She's like, come on. But anyway, yeah, I love Dahlia Sin's look. She looked great. And yes.
Well, that and, like, what? Shut Up and Drive is probably one of the most iconic lip syncs ever. So,
yes,
time to pay homage. Let's get Riri on the show. Okay, people.
It's time. I mean, you done Miley. You got Gaga. Now you did Nicki Minaj. Like, you need Rihanna. You need Katy Perry. Mm-hmm. You need Beyonce. Yep. You just need all of them.
I was just thinking about Beyonce. I was like, okay. Season 15, Beyonce, maybe?
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, more like season 100 whenever her schedule finally clears.
Yeah. Look, they're making their coin. They're busy bitches, right? But Jada. Oh my gosh. Not Jan. Jada.
This was so fantastic. The different shades of yellow in this outfit. And it is so hard to get a particular shade of yellow right where it doesn't look like urine. Like, honestly, this looks more like butter, and she absolutely nailed it. Everything about this, from the way the tool contrasts with the color of the actual structure of the corset and the bodice herself, to the hair, to the earrings in there, like, sort of, they have, like, her a little bit of pink with a lot of yellow, and then her nails were pink. I mean, she is such a professional. This is spectacular, and it hits the floor, like, perfectly. Like, you can tell she is a pageant queen, bitch. Oh, I love this. This was so good.
Yeah, it was like, it looked like a cupcake. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, like, very, you know, it was, yeah, it's very, and I like, you know, the little space for the leg, you know, show a little bit of leg there. Oh, man, I forgot to write it down, but Michelle Visage made a pun that I did not understand, and it cracked Rue up whenever she was on the runway, and I meant to write it down to ask you two about it, but I guess I'll do that after the show. But yeah, I love the look. It was great. And those pink nails were just a
just a perfect chef's kiss to that. To that.
Yeah, it was the gayest Easter ever, I think, is what Ross said.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really good. This look was amazing. I don't know. I guess you could comment. You could say, oh, it's predictable. It's the Vera Wang.
No, it's not. Yeah. Not the color scheme. The color scheme is not predictable. The way the makeup and the light, the way the light hits her face is not predictable. I mean, and also this could have swallowed her up, but as Amon correctly points out, her leg, you can see her legs during this look, and you can see mm-hmm. them stomping down the runway. Like, this is how it's done, people. Like, take note and watch this bitch. She is fantastic.
I mean, the way that it's cut and the way that the bodice is shaped, the way that the tulle comes up
yes.
is a very different line and just makes the whole thing look so well put together and so polished. And talk about detail oriented. I mean, this thing is so incredibly well crafted. This was the icing on the cupcake that did it for me. If I was going to make a winner pick with Jada Essence Hall,
yeah,
loved it.
I agree.
Speaking of another look that I loved, just Jan with her tulle look. Amon, what do you think mm-hmm. of this?
This was the best freaking runway this episode. It was perf. It was, you know, it was punny. It was a different perspective. It wasn't a dress. It was like a construction uniform with the yellow jacket and the orange jumpsuit. She had traffic cone earrings. She had a tool belt. She had a tool inside the tool belt. The fucking high heels have ridged soles, just like some construction boots. Like, where the fuck did she even get those? It was a feast. Just like Tandy said, there was detail. There was something to actually go back and look and be like, oh shit, I see what you did there, bitch. Okay. Like, she did it. She did the damn thing. She's a student of Drag Race, and it is.
I was going to say that Jan is what Sasha Bell, who famously cracked the code on Drag Race, could have been, because I feel like Jan has cracked the code on Drag Race. Like, she wants to just throw everything at the wall and give the judges everything and win all the points and all the coins. And I don't know, maybe she should have held back a little bit here. Like, I don't want her to, but I feel like the judges didn't respond as positively as I wanted them to. And so I'm looking for a reason why, like, maybe she should have changed something, because this is just spectacular. Everything about this look, from, like, it's like Amon said, it's tool within tool within tool. Like, there's tool on it, but it's also a tool thing. It's a tool themed belt and a tool themed earrings and like with the traffic cones and even the color in particular is so girly and so fishy, and the way she like has a much lighter makeup palette in this particular look, with that hair mm-hmm. and the way the hairline works with her makeup. And I mean, I
if she could have found a way to like put like miniature caution tape throughout the strands of her hair, I would have like I would have like had like a fashion orgasm. Like, it would have been perfect. But
no, I've said all I can say. Like, this is just, I keep looking for reasons why she wasn't in the top two, because I feel like this was far more successful than what Sherry did on the runway, which I think I've seen before. Like, I haven't seen mm-hmm. what Jan has done before on the runway. Not in this kind of way. Not during a tool-themed runway have I seen something like this. And I love that Michelle pointed it out and gave her credit for it, but it almost seemed like they held, like, Jan is such a fan of Drag Race, and she wanted them to know that she appreciates everything about Drag Race, and she's just taking it all in. And I felt like in some ways they penalized her for that. Am I reading that wrong, Liana?
No.
They did.
It was so weird. I sort of got a little bit of flashbacks to season one. Like, it was a Chanel type situation. Like, oh, she's so perfect, and you know, she's too polished, she's too put together. You know, obviously it's a little bit of a different beast, but that was the first thing that stood out to me, because tulle, literally the point of tulle is that it's poofy and that it's fluffy, and she managed to create a sleek garment with clean lines out of tulle. It's a tulle, and she had her little tool, her little wrench that she was trying to like turn the light bulbs with. It's like, girl, that's not how that works, but that's fine, I don't care, it's so amazing. I'm not even gonna worry about it. It was so disappointing to hear the judges be like, yeah, like, stop, calm down, and appreciate.
Like, it's like, what? Yeah, like, why calm down? Yeah. Like, you just, I mean, you just said that you, like, there are so many queens that you're always like, we want to see you, we want to see you, we want to know more about you, we want to see you. I mean, she's
Did you hear them? They gave us some BS, like, sort of woke statement where they were like, well, she's not as present as she needs to be in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's so cliche. Like, seriously, like, that is not a real thing. Like, she's right there. What are you talking about?
Maybe it's just, you know, a thing where Jan is obviously a front runner and they don't want to make it too obvious. So they're doing anything they can to critique her in any way that they can. And they just don't
If Jan is the Ms. Cracker who gets bumped up into the top four because of what happened with Sherry Pie, then I'm totally on board. Yeah.
Hey.
I'm nervous. I hope that it's Amon, the situation that you described, but I think she's just not connecting with the judges yet. And I'm hoping that she'll be able to throughout the course of the season, because what she brings is so special. And I think that she's really talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, like, sometimes I feel like these judges are lying to these queens, and they're like, I just can't wait to see what you do next week. I'm like, that girl is boring, you know it. But I actually want to see what she is doing this time around.
But it's insane, Amon. Insane. Okay, speaking of insane, Rock literally bought all the tulle on the planet Brent. Like, this was so much tulle.
Yeah, I didn't respond as positively to this. I will say, though, that there was a little bit of like weirdness going on with the judges, because Ross was like saying to other queens, like with Jan, he was like, there's no such thing as too much drag. And then Ross, like 10 seconds later, oh, this is too much. It swallows you up. I wish I could edit. And I'm like, well, you know, be consistent, queen. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I think that this suffers from some of the same things that I talked about at the beginning of the episode during the spring look. It's a lot of fabric. It is a ton of fabric. And I probably sided more with Ross, even though I unbalanced, I probably side more with Michelle, because I did feel like this really swallowed her and it didn't give her as clean of lines as she could have had there been a little bit more structure to the inside of the outfit. But the tulle around it was like a wad of fabric in a tornado. And I don't know. I definitely got where Ross was coming from.
I don't know. I sort of liked it. I feel like this is like sort of like the thing that Soju was trying to go for last season. Like all of that tulle. And I feel like when she got to the end of the runway, she made a point to stick out her legs so that the tulle would separate and so you could see the bodice that was attached to it. So I feel like, you know, it's very big, and maybe it could have been trimmed down a touch. But I think once again, it's tulle. Like, what do you want them to do? Like, that's how tulle looks. And, you know, I don't know. I like the sort of like ostentatiousness of it all. Like, she's very, I mean, that's just how she is. She's just very ostentatious. She's like in your face. She's over the top, extra. Like, she's the girl that comes into the workroom and dances on the tables. And that is the look personified. So, you know.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Get it how you live.
I loved it, actually. Okay. I thought she looked like a big old loofah, which I think was one of the comments that was made. I think because, the reason why I love it, because I could see the swallowing up comments, is because the bodice was white. Where there wasn't tulle, it was also bright white. And because of the way that she presented it on the main stage, like you said, she held her arms up and out. She spread her legs because she was like, I got to show off this dress, the cut of this dress, because it is, yeah, like hundreds and hundreds of yards of tulle. It was so over the top. And I liked, I think it was Thandi's comments where she said, like, you were performance art. And I really resonated with that. I thought it was so cool. And I thought that the details that she did around the makeup, this is kind of what I was talking a little bit about earlier, where it was very detailed around the eyes and very colorful. And I thought it matched with the tulle look. I can see the critique, but I think personally, I land on the side of really, really liking the tulle look.
I liked the fact that her wig was matching the same color as the purple in the tulle. So it sort of looked like it was part of the tulle as well. Like, I liked it. I thought it was very cute.
Yeah, it was so poofy. I just wanted to touch it so bad, like squish it, like scrunch it. but I don't know, maybe one day. All right. The last look that we have, and Brent, you started to talk about Sherry's look, the raindrop, like detox inspired look, I think.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Yeah, definitely Detox inspired. I will say that her performance on the runway was pretty spectacular with the raincoats and then taking it off with the little confetti that it was like rain. And then she was like, ah, and like, you know, had a whole performance walking down the runway. The shoes are fantastic. I love the yellow against that blue with the little lightning bolt. Like, I think that makes a great color combination. The palette itself and this makeup was definitely different than what she had done previously. I really responded to this makeup in a way that it looked so professional and well done, but it was so much lighter. Like, there wasn't as much like eyeshadow and there wasn't as much lipstick. It was just a lighter shade of palette to the point where it made her look so soft and feminine, which, like, she's a big gal. It's hard to make her look soft and feminine, but I felt like this did a really good job. I love this.
Aman, what do you think?
You know, I love camp.
Yeah.
You know, anything camp. So I love a theme and I loved the rain confetti. I loved the lightning bolts on the back. Like, her wig was like a cloud. It was like a storm cloud. Like, I loved all of it. I loved the big raindrops that were cascading down the tulle. And I like that it was so high up too. Like, I like that you see all of her legs. It was great. I liked it. Not my favorite, but definitely, probably like top three. For the runway.
So
today,
like last week, after all of the runway looks, we get into the lip sync, which is between the top two contestants of the week. So we have Nobody Going Home, which I will say was really, I mean, it was anticlimactic because we already knew it wasn't going to happen. Like, nobody was going to go home. Plus, you only had six girls. If you're not going to send one out of the seven home, you're definitely not going to send one of the six home. So a lot of the excitement was kind of lost, but I don't know how exactly they would get around mm-hmm. that. So fine, whatever. But we get into the lip sync, which is Call Your Girlfriend by Robin. And we have Jada versus Sherry. Brent, did you think that Jada should have won here based on her performance?
Oh, of course. This was absolutely wonderful. She did such a great job. I love that for the most part, she did not default to comedy. I think that's a thing that a lot of drag queens do is they default to comedy when they don't know what else to do on the runway. And maybe Sherry felt like in that outfit, in that look, that she couldn't give us anything more than what she did. But I felt like Jada was in it to win it from the start. She had a plan. She had a reveal. She was ready to go. She gave us heartfelt lyrics. It was from her soul. I felt like we got that lip sync from her. And it, like, the $5,000 was totally icing on the cake. This was just out of this world.
I always wonder about the lip sync sometimes, because I know for All Stars, they're allowed to switch out their looks if they're going to be in the bottom, or if they're in the top. But you don't really see that happen a lot of the time in the regular season. So I'm wondering, it's like, is there a rule against changing your outfit? Because there are some, you know, there's times when, like, the theme of the runway is, you know, calls for some pretty ostentatious shit, like, and calls for, like, some really high art pieces that you wear. And so, like, sometimes these queens, they don't want to fuck up all of that fashion for the sake of a lip sync, you know, even if it's to save themselves. Like, you're still, you know, that's still, like, you put money and time into those looks. Like, I always wonder, like, are they allowed to switch? Because maybe if she had worn something different, maybe Sherry would have given us a little bit more. I mean, I still think that she did a pretty good job considering what she, you know, the comedic effect or whatever the hell. But yeah, obviously, you know, Jada was... She turned it out. She, you know, she's going to be a lip sync assassin. She will be.
Yes. Jada, come through, Jada. And that's why this is, again, another reason I was like, if they do the final four again with the lip syncs, this girl is amazing mm-hmm. and just somebody to look out for. I think in terms of the logistics, Amon, of changing clothes and stuff for the All-Star seasons, they actually go back to the workroom because they have to do all of the deliberations and they talk to each other and then they do the thing where they pick the lipsticks and that kind of thing. Whereas for this, they just go backstage, which is where they do the filming of the Untucked. Because I think for All-Star seasons, we don't have the Untucked. So I think that that's sort of part of the reason they're around all their stuff and they can change. Whereas this, they can't really do it. So I think it just has to do with that, but I'm not 100% sure.
Then I guess, if you're, like, you're a fan of the show, I guess I wonder if there's any queens that have ever, like,
I was ready to motherfucking lip sync. I was ready to do so, or whatever that
right,
is.
Right. So I wonder if some of these queens, into every fucking runway look that they bring, they incorporate some sort of, like, reveal just mm-hmm. in case. Yeah.
so they could be prepared to motherfucking do so.
Oh, so good. All right. Well, that really wraps up what we have here in the episode. Do you guys have any other thoughts you want to talk about before we dress, I guess, a little bit of Untucked, although there wasn't that much that was going on?
Yeah, there wasn't that much going on. This really sucks overall, you guys, like the whole Sherry Pie thing, everything about it. I hate the fact that if she's not going to be a part of the season, I hate the fact that she's on the show. Like I'm hoping that in future episodes they can just edit around her in some ways. I mean, I don't know how much that's possible. Like, again, how the hell do you edit around her in this episode? She was in the goddamn lip sync. How are you? Yeah. Like, what if she won? What can you imagine the response if she won the lip sync? Which, you know, at some point she's probably going to send a bitch home. So it's just bites. God damn it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And I that was like my main gripe with the whole thing, aside from obviously, you know, what she did to those people, but also that it's sort of, you know, it's just tainting the season, especially for the rest of the queens that sort of have to, you know, be, no, you're a part of that season with the person that did that. Like, oh,
I know
wow.
what I wanted to say. This is what I wanted to say. I know that there's plenty of people out there who don't agree with me, and that's totally fine. I will say that just listen to the way that I spoke and then Amon spoke and Liana spoke. I don't think that any of us are exactly in the same place, but yet we were all able to hear each other and still be friends after. I think that I have very strong opinions on this, and I know Liana has very strong opinions of this. And you know, maybe I'm wrong. I definitely leave open the possibility that I am wrong. There have been times where I have been podcasting and things that I thought a few years ago, I don't necessarily think now. However, I do love the fact that we can exchange a litany of ideas on this podcast and still be, you know, great coworkers and friends at the end of the day. I love that about you guys.
And I think that that's just so important to keep in mind in general. Look, nothing good comes from hate, and it's okay to have emotions and to feel frustration and to feel anger. But I think we all need to learn to communicate, to talk to each other. And I want to address this situation. I want to talk about this situation because sweeping things under the rug also doesn't help. And I know that that's what I'm doing, right? Oh, call me a hypocrite. I'm not talking about her. But that's because my emotion that I feel is it makes me uncomfortable. But I'm okay if you guys want to talk about it. And I'm okay that, you know, there are other people who have different opinions, even though I, you know, feel strongly about my own. I'm more than happy to talk about it and to listen. And so I appreciate you both, and I appreciate the discussion. And there will be more discussions, I'm sure, that will be had throughout the season. And I think that's important to keep in mind.
I feel like Amon and I are pretty much in the same place where we're like, I'm not going to go out of my way to praise the bitch, but like where I need to talk about her, I'll talk about her. Like, and I don't even think she was that successful in this episode anyway. So like, I feel like I would not have had her in the top two. I'll say that. Like, I would have had her in the middle, maybe even like fourth overall, actually. I would have had Jan in the top two. So there was definitely a little bit of robbed goddess kind of
that was weird
thing going on with Jan. And I just hope that's not a reflection of what we're going to see going forward, because if it is, I'm already tired of it. And it's only been one episode with Jan. I mean,
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. I mean, like when I was talking to my friend about all of this last night, and he did say to me, he was like, you know, it is what it is. And if, you know, maybe Sherry Pie does actually get eliminated, and then it'll be a pleasant surprise for all of us. So at the end of the day, we still don't know what's going to happen in regards to, you know, her progression throughout the show. But, you know, the rest of these queens, their dreams are coming true. We're getting to watch them fight for something that they've wanted for a very long time. And, you know, that's what I'm going to tend to focus on, is just those other girls that are also sharing the stage. Because while this is an unfortunate situation, like, I'm not going to let that color my, you know, perspective on how the other queens are, you know, participating and progressing, because they deserve the respect to have their work and their art celebrated just like any other queen. So,
yeah, 100%. Okay, so Brent, what are you up to in the universe, and where can people find you on social media?
You can always yell at me at One Lucky Gay on Twitter and tell me why I'm wrong. And you can also find me at One Lucky Gay across all social media, but I'm definitely a Twitter kind of guy. I am recapping Big Brother Canada 8, which is a fantastic season. It's just getting started. So much diversity and likability and competitors and hungriness. I'm so excited to see how this turns out. So I am pretty busy. You can see me at the round table with Taryn and Melissa on Tuesdays. I believe it's going to be at 9 p.m. or 9:30. Just stay tuned.
Aman, how about you? What are you up to?
I am Aman Adwin on Twitter. You can also follow me for any Big Brother / Drag Race shenanigans. I actually will get the chance to be on the update this week on Thursday, so I'm excited about that. But yeah, that's
me. Fun. And you can find me on social media at Liana Boris. The RHAP B&B this week with Mike Bloom. We had Matt Lagori as our guest, which was, oh my God, insanely silly and super fun. The Masked Singer podcast with Puya Zainvakili is out. We talked about the last episode of Group B. So I think we're both very happy to be moving on to a new crop of performers. So definitely look out for those two things. You can find this podcast and others in the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed or on the Drag Race feed. Please leave us star ratings and reviews on iTunes, and also become a freaking patron of Rob Has a Podcast,
right?
Y'all. Oh my gosh. Being a patron is so amazing. I've been a patron now for a few years in addition to being a podcaster here, and there's so many amazing things that Rob does for the network, and you know, we are just a really small part of it, but we can all support and we can all contribute to the amazing content that we get to hear every week on Reality TV Wrap-Ups and the main feed and Post Show Recaps and, oh my God, everything else that Rob does. Plus you get a lot of extra added bonuses for being a patron, access to our patron only Facebook group, so you can yell at Brent on Facebook also if you'd like to, not just on Twitter. You get extra podcasts and videos and content, and it's just totally amazing. Also, huge shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and we will talk to y'all later. Bye.
This is Rob Cesternino thanking you for listening to this episode of our Reality TV Wrap-Ups. Shows like this are made possible because of you, the listener, and the support of our RHAP patron community, connecting reality TV fans around the globe. To start getting access to all of the perks of becoming a patron, visit us at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Hope you enjoyed the show.